5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Flight cleared for takeoff.
Hello and welcome to Kentucky Caliber. I'm your host, Jason Belcher. We've started our new 2024-2025 season, and we're dedicating the show, the new 24-25 editions, all the episodes, all the shows that we do will share one thing, and they will all be founded on three things: facts, reason, and patriotism. Why did I choose that? Thomas Paine, the author of Common Sense, who helped supply many of the ideas that were critical to the success of the American Revolution during the American Revolutionary War, Thomas Paine wrote, "It is the duty of every man, as far as his ability extends, to detect and expose delusion and error." So I'm going to go one step further than that. It is the duty of everyone to detect and expose deceptions and lies as far as their duty extends. And as we've just come through this 2024 election, there are a lot of lies to detect and expose. There's no way one show could possibly get to all of them. But we're going to tackle some of the big ones. And I'm going to start where I think we should start, which is with the claims that former President Trump and now President-elect Donald Trump made about voter fraud. He has claimed consistently throughout this year, throughout the campaign, he said this. You can find any number of clips on this anywhere you want to look. There's too many to even count. Well, maybe you could count them, but it's a huge number. He has stated repeatedly that there will be widespread, systematic voting fraud and that the system is rigged. Those are his words, not mine. And now, here we are, 2 days after the election's over, not a whisper about voting fraud by him or any of his supporters. Where is the widespread voting fraud you claimed was already occurring? I've asked a few Trump supporters about that, and you know what they've told me? I've gotten a variety of different answers, but this is sort of the theme. Well, I said, he said that, didn't he? What's your response? You know what they told me? Well, a lot of people said a lot of things. America, 45, 47, go Trump. I get jingoisms and slogans and dodges because they know that there wasn't any fraud. There never was any fraud. And the other question I asked them was, there was a lot of attention directed towards places that votes were being cast or counted. There's a lot of watchers, poll watchers out there. If there was widespread fraud, why did none of them see any of it? Why aren't any of the attorney generals in the state, not just battleground states, any state, why aren't they pressing charges against those who they claim perpetrated widespread and systematic fraud? There are no charges like that. And the reason why is that it never happened. Donald Trump lied to you, to the American people, probably to himself, about widespread voter fraud. It did not happen. You can look at any state. You can look at and by the way, the key battleground states in this one, there were five: Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Arizona. And in this election in 2024, Donald Trump won all of them. The margins were close, especially in Michigan and Wisconsin. The victory margins weren't huge. In some cases, they were 1 or 2%. So they were small margins of victory, but they were clear margins of victory. And because we deal with facts on this program, it is a fact that Donald Trump won this election. I'm not disputing that. It's a fact. You can count the numbers. You can look at the data. The returns all say the same thing. He got the most votes. He got enough electoral votes, over 270, which is what you need to secure the presidency. So he won that. What I'm saying is that he lied to get it. I'm not saying he's the first person to ever do that. I'm sure maybe most, if not all, people who've run for president successfully used deception in order to get to where they are. But that doesn't let him off the hook for telling this particular lie, which is the same lie he told in 2016 and the same lie he told in 2020. And it's the same lie that his supporters still will not admit. They won't admit that he told that lie. What is reason, by the way, which I mentioned at the outset, I wanted just based on facts, reason, and patriotism. What is reason? Reason is the ability to think. The ability to think. If you see someone lying to you, one day they tell you there's going to be widespread fraud, it's all rigged, and the next day they tell you there isn't any, you don't have the ability to use reason. You lack the ability to think because they just told you the day before something that contradicts what they're telling you today, and he lied about it. So that's lie number one. There never was any voter fraud. It never was widespread. Oh, there's been handfuls of cases in every election in U.S. history, but the numbers are minuscule. So far this year, they even appear to be lower than average, okay? Far lower than average. And that's because a lot of states have passed new legislation about how elections will be handled within their respective borders. So there hasn't been any fraud. That's a lie. And he's still lying about it, and he still won't admit that he lied, and his supporters won't admit that he lied. I'm not 100% sure why they won't admit that he lied, but I suspect it's because they like being lied to. Some of them, I think, need to be lied to, and a few of them are even addicted to lies. They are addicted to deception. He is their dealer. Donald Trump is their dealer of deception. He lies to them and they go to him to get their fix because the lies they tell him, rather the lies he tells them, are what they want to hear. That's why they want him to lie to them. It makes them feel good. It reinforces what they already believed. He tells them what they want to hear, even though it's not true and it never was. The second lie for this election. And let's go, we're going to switch sides now and hop over to the Democrat side because they told lies too. And we are kidding ourselves, especially folks who are Democrats. I'm not a leftist, by the way, but I am a Democrat. They're kidding themselves if they don't admit that Democrats lied too. They lied about Biden for a long time. And the sad thing is, if they had just been honest at the outset and said, you know, President Biden isn't suffering from cognitive decline, he's having normal age-related symptoms for a person his age. If you talk to medical doctors who treat patients in their early 80s or around Mr. Biden's age, they'll tell you that the things you've seen him do in public, sometimes misspeaking, sometimes they're a little slow to respond, sometimes forgetting words, that doesn't mean cognitive decline. That's just a symptom of aging, and it's going to happen to all of us eventually. Okay, there's no shame in that. When you add illness to that, okay, when you add an illness to that and that compounds the situation, it makes the symptoms even worse, which is what we saw with the disastrous debate that Joe Biden did against former President Trump, which is finally when the Democratic Party at the national level had no choice but to admit that the emperor had no clothes. Okay, they knew, they could have just said at the outset, it would have probably caused some damage to admit in the heat of a 2024 election, in any election, it would have been damaging to admit that the president was suffering from some of the normal effects of aging. You know for a fact his opponents would have jumped all over that. But at least the people would have had a chance to decide for themselves whether or not they thought ordinary aging was an impediment to another term. But instead of doing that, the National Party, not just the Democratic National Committee, but also lots of voices, high-profile influencers and media voices who like to support Democratic candidates, continue to insist right up until that last minute that absolutely nothing was wrong with them. It was perfectly fine. There was nothing to worry about. And when that debate took place and everyone could see that that wasn't true, people knew that they'd been lied to. They'd been lied to. And the sad thing is, as I mentioned, had they just come clean about what was going on, people would have had a chance to make a decision. Maybe they would have said, stick with Biden, it's okay. Maybe they wouldn't have, I don't know. But at least they would have had a chance to decide on their own. And by denying them that, you lost votes. You lost a lot of votes. And you lost confidence in the truthfulness of the party as an organization. And that is one of the reasons why Democrats lost the presidency. You know, not to mention the Senate, the House, I think, is still, I don't think all of their House races have been called yet. So there's still quite a few that are out there that haven't been decided yet. The Republicans have a lead in the House right now, but there is enough outstanding races that haven't been called that I don't think we can say that there's a, that the Republicans are going to keep their majority. They very well could, but I don't think it's been called yet. So the House is still up for grabs, but they've got the Senate, the Republicans have the Senate, and they got the White House. And one of the big reasons why is because Democrats were dishonest about Mr. Biden's condition, about his age, and about the effects it was having on him. And it blew up in their face at the debate. That is one of the reasons why they lost votes and they lost faith. They lost confidence. People lost confidence in them. Another major lie, back to the Republican side, came again from Donald Trump, because he does it more than anybody else. I'm not saying he's the only person in politics who lies. I'm just saying he does it more than anyone else. There's going to be leftist mobs that attack a riot or cause destruction if he wins. Well, Mr. Trump, it's 2 days after the election. Where are they? Where are these? Again, I'm not a leftist, but where are these leftist mobs? Where are these riots you're talking about that are going to break out? There aren't any. Never happened, didn't happen, wasn't going to happen. Are there protests? Probably. I've seen a few. People walking around carrying signs, that's not a riot. That ain't an insurrection like there was on January 6th. There's just a protest, maybe a few. But it never happened, so that's another lie. And his supporters, again, refuse to admit, and this is a pattern with folks who were part of the Trump campaign or part of the Trump voting pattern, voting block. This is a pattern with them. Can't admit that he told a lie. I don't know why they like being lied to. I'm not sure. That doesn't make any sense to me, why you would want someone to lie to you. But that's nonetheless is what's happening. A third lie that I wanted to talk about while we're still with Donald Trump, and this is one of the top issues in the campaign, immigration, and the status of illegal immigrants here in this country, which we know there's a pretty sizable number. I don't think anybody can tell you exactly where they are, but we know there's a pretty sizable number. During the campaign, Donald Trump said he's going to use the Alien Act of 1798 to round up and forcibly expel everyone who's here illegally. Well, there's a couple of major problems with that legislation. Okay. The Alien Act of 1798, it's actually the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. That is a wartime measure. The act actually states that. It is a wartime authority that allows a U.S. president to detain or deport citizens of an enemy nation. When is the last time this was used? World War II. Before that, when was it used? World War I. We had declared wars for both of those conflicts. In World War II, we declared war on Germany and Japan. We also declared war. There was a formal declaration of war when we entered World War I. So you can argue the morality of it. I'm not making that argument. I'm not saying that the camps we had for folks of Japanese descent or German descent during World War I and World War II were good ideas. That's not my argument. I'm simply saying they at least had a legal basis. There was at least a legal basis for that to be done. It may not have been smart. It may not have been wise. It may not have even been moral, but there was a legal basis for it because the Alien Enemies Act of 1798 is a wartime authority. What we're dealing with today in terms of immigration are countries that we are not at war with. Most of the migrants, legal or illegal, that come through our southern border are coming from Central America, South America, or Mexico. So what we generally refer to as Latin America, that's the area of the world that they're coming from. And they're coming for a lot of different reasons. There's a lot of different reasons. There's a lot of violence and crime in some of the Central American countries. There have been natural disasters that have never been, the damage from those have just never been fixed because their governments are so dysfunctional that they just never get repaired. The damage is just there forever. And so places become unlivable. And so because of all of those things, people have come in large numbers north towards the United States. But we are not at war with Mexico. We're not at war with Guatemala. We're not at war with Venezuela. We're not at war with any of the Latin American countries. There has been no declaration of war from the U.S. Congress on any of those countries. Yet, our president-elect, because he's going to be president again, whether you like it or not, it's a fact. We're dealing facts here. He's going to be president again. And he wants to use that piece of legislation as the basis to detain and deport people from those countries. Well, it's illegal. Will the court system block him should he try to do that? I don't know. I honestly don't know. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. You would think that because the language of the legislation is specific about wartime and the fact that there's been no declaration of war would allow an injunction to stop any actions like that should they occur. But he's already lied about the act itself, saying that it gives him the authority to do that. No, it doesn't. It does not give him the authority. In this case, I don't know if he just isn't aware of what the legislation is or if he just knows and is going to disregard it anyway because he thinks this is what his base wants to hear. I don't deny at all that we have an immigration problem. I don't deny at all that having illegal citizens here in large numbers or illegal immigrants in large numbers is a problem. It is a problem. We've seen in communities across the country that there have been impacts from that. There have been local resources that have been strained, and there has been consequences from that for those locations that they have to deal with. So there is a problem there. That doesn't justify illegal activity by the government, directed by the government, to solve it. So that's yet another lie. And we could, boy, we could probably spend the rest of the day just trying to list all the lies that he's told. And this is one of the techniques, by the way, that modern authoritarians use. If you want to look for an example, I'll give you two. Vladimir Putin in Russia and Viktor Orban in Hungary, they both use the same tactic. The tactic is to spit out an absolute mountain of BS. The idea is to bury your opponents and your critics in a mountain of BS, so large and so deep that they can never hope to get out from under it. Okay, so while the critics are required to go through this exhaustive process of providing proof and evidence and winning an argument, the autocrat up at the top just spits out more and more BS and waits for you to try to spend all of your time disproving it, even though they don't have to provide any proof at all for anything they say. It's just a mountain of BS. That's the technique that Donald Trump uses. He wants to bury us under a mountain of BS, and he has so far succeeded. We have been buried under a mountain of BS, and I've just cited a few examples of it earlier on that we talked about. There was no voter fraud, there haven't been any leftist mobs, and the Alien Enemies Act does not grant the president the authority to detain or deport citizens or natives from Latin America. Those are just three examples. Meanwhile, while we're dealing with these levels of deception, take a look around at the world that we live in. We are already in an undeclared war in the Middle East on behalf of Israel. We've been fighting the Houthi actively with our carrier strike groups, which have been flying hundreds, yes, you read that correctly, hundreds, and probably by this time over 1,000, you read that correctly too, over 1,000 sorties or missions against Houthi targets in Yemen. We have provided protection to Israel from Iranian attacks, from their missile attacks, by providing missile intercept capability. And that includes U.S. personnel now on the ground there in Israel helping. We are literally one missile attacking. The Iranians have already launched hundreds of missiles at Israel. They have already launched hundreds of missiles at Israel. We are one missile attack away from American casualties in that conflict. I'm talking about deaths. I'm talking about wounds of U.S. military personnel. When that happens, notice I say when that happens, the pressure to retaliate is going to be immense. And if that happens, we are now in yet another conflict in the Middle East that we should not be in. Why are we even in the Middle East now? Can someone explain that to me? Why are we even there? You can't get a good answer to that question. No one even asked that question during this campaign. No one even asked that question. There's many people that say they're pro-Israel. There's many people who say they're pro-Palestinian. There's lots of people who say they're pro-peace. No one even asked that question, why are we in the Middle East? Well, the reason we went there in the first place back in the 70s was to stop the Soviet Union from capturing oil fields. Well, the Soviet Union's been gone for 30 years. And yet here we are again, one attack, which could come at any time. It could be underway right now. Anytime it could come. We are facing that situation in the Middle East, and we don't have a leader that's ready to handle that. We don't. We do not have leaders that are ready to handle that. The Biden administration has extended us to the point where that vulnerability is now imminent. And I don't think I've heard nothing from the incoming Trump team to tell me that they have even a clue of what to do about that. Same for Ukraine, by the way. That's another of the absurdities that Donald Trump spit out. He's going to end the war on the first day. Not going to happen. Russia's already said it's not going to happen. Ukraine's already said it's not going to happen. He's been elected, and here go, the war is still going on. So here's more proof yet again that something he told you during the campaign was going to happen didn't happen. That conflict is on Europe's doorstep. It is on the doorstep of our NATO allies that we are treaty bound to defend should they be attacked by Russia. Article 5 of the NATO treaty, which we've signed. And by the way, the Constitution of the United States says treaties are the law of the land. We are legally and treaty bound to come to their defense if they're attacked. And that could happen in any day. Any day. And yet, instead of making any kind of reasonable preparations for that in the European theater, we're engaged in the Middle East where we shouldn't be. Should we defend our ally Israel? We can do that with naval carrier strike groups. They've been doing most of the fighting anyway. They have access to the sea lanes there. They can come in at any time and go at any time. The land bases that are there are not necessary. They're a huge expense that only create a vulnerability for us in the region. But no one's even talked about closing them down. We should, but no one's even talked about it. That wouldn't remove our ability to respond to threats coming from the Middle East. The carrier strike groups can still do that. And they should when it's necessary. But there's no reason to have as many bases that we have there. There's no reason to have ground troops in Iraq because they've been fighting a proxy war with Iran for quite some time now. The Iranians know it. We know it. It's one of those things that both governments know about, but they both try to downplay because they don't want to deal with it. They don't want to deal with open conflict. So at least that's some good sign. That's some good. What I'm getting at is while we're in an age of disinformation and from an incoming president that is a proven and pathological liar, that is not a good combination to bring someone into that level of authority into a situation that is already that dangerous. And so there aren't many checks left right now on the incoming Trump administration. The Supreme Court has ruled that presidents cannot be charged for any presidential act, which is absurd and completely contrary to the Constitution, but that's what they ruled. That's what they ruled. The Republican Party has made it clear they won't even criticize Donald Trump. And so if the House remains in control of the Republican Party, you've got the House, you've got the Senate, you've got the White House, you've got the judiciary. What's left? There's nothing. There's really nothing. There are no more elections in this country until November of 2026 at the federal level. The midterms will be in November of 26, but that's it. No more national elections for 2 years. And very few, if any, checks on the behavior of an incoming president who has already claimed to do things that would be unconstitutional and disastrous for this country. So we are going to be keeping an eye on that throughout this year on this program because facts, reason, and patriotism are the foundations that we have to build a resistance to an administration that is going to lie to us for sure and that may choose to undertake unconstitutional and illegal activities and programs and implement illegal policies to advance the agenda that they want to advance. We'll do a separate program about Project 225. That's another thing that Donald Trump's lied about. He says he has nothing to do with it. His name's all over it. The names of his supporters are all over it. We'll do a separate show on that at a different time. But there will be nothing really to stop them from putting into law many of the precepts of Project 225 if they wanted to. And Democrats partly have only themselves to blame because, as I mentioned at the outset, we contributed to this mess. And I say we because I'm a member of the Democratic Party. We contributed to this mess. I believed, I went along with the claim from the National Party that Biden was perfectly fine and nothing was wrong with him. And I didn't look close enough. I didn't scrutinize their claims as closely as I should have. And that's on me. I have to accept that. I have to live with that. But it's not a mistake I'm going to repeat, because my plan is to scrutinize their behavior and statements just as much as I do Republicans or anyone else. And that's the promise that we make to you here on Kentucky Caliber for the 2024-2025 season. 25 is going to get underway once the elections are going to be over. Mr. Trump will be inaugurated in January. I'm not going to speculate on what he might do. As things actually come up, we will address those. But we are going to respond to the lies that he tells. And this is the program, or one of the programs, that we're going to expose those lies and then dispose of those lies. This is where the lies come to die. That is the purpose of this program. Because as George Orwell said, telling the truth is a revolutionary act in a time of deceit. Now, actually, that quote's attributed to him. He may not have actually said it or written it. It's a heck of a good, it's a good thing to believe in it, because it's true. He may have written it. I've seen some compelling arguments either way, but it doesn't matter. The quote's attributed to him, so we'll just keep that tradition going, since I don't have any definitive facts that he didn't write it. It's been attributed to him for some time. In a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. Well, I'm more interested in facts, okay? The truth is something that philosophers can debate, and that's a good thing. They should have that. I'm not a philosopher. I'm a historian. So rather than, it's pretty pretentious, I think, of someone just to declare to you that they are going to tell you the truth and that they have it and no one else does. What I'm interested in are facts. Facts, reason, and patriotism. Facts meaning accuracy. I'll take accuracy. Truth's a pretty lofty goal, right? That's pretty lofty. I'll settle for accuracy. And that's why I focus on facts. Because if you have facts and you have the ability to reason and you care about the country, which I do, and I believe a lot of people do who voted against Donald Trump, if you have those things, then you have the ability to begin to formulate a way to resist the illegal and unconstitutional and dishonest acts of your government. And you can believe that they are going to happen. It's going to happen. The lies are already continuing. They're certainly going to continue. This is our weapon against deceit. Facts, reason, and patriotism. So thank you for listening to this first program of the 24-25 season. I look forward to having some guests on the program, answering questions, and keeping a watch on the activities of our government and the incoming administration, because that is our job as citizens. So thank you for listening, and have a great day.